The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And the first topic I wanted to talk about today had to do with, in the context of breast cancer awareness. But before we get to that, there was something I heard on the news today, and the headline that was in the New York Times related to the same topic. And maybe you heard about this as well. It says, dietary supplements lead to 20,000 emergency room visits yearly, study finds. Had you seen that?
I did see that, Dr. Slavin. Yes, indeed. And I was quite annoyed with that headline.
Well, in reality, the headline is misleading and incomplete. You know, I think if you wanted to write the complete headline, it should have said, only 20,000 ER visits related to dietary supplements compared to 5.1 million ER visits related to prescription drugs.
Wouldn't that have been quite the truthful statement rather than the misleading statement?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's hard to say, you know, a lot of the ER visits had to do with people perhaps choking on swallowing the pill or tablet or capsule, you know, so that was some of it. Sometimes people do get stomach upsets, but the incidents based on the over 150 million Americans taking these products every year is really minuscule. Just how safe they are. That, by the way, you have less than 0.1% of the supplement users go to the emergency room. So, yeah, really safe, and it's misleading. And this is a government study that was reported. And I think some of the main products that are driving people to the emergency room are weight loss products like hydroxycut, Xenadrin, raspberry ketones, blackjack energy. You know, people tend to overdo things.
Okay, if a little is good. That is that in the article that they're saying it's those that tend to be associated with the emergency room visits?
Yeah, they're saying that the products that are driving people to the emergency room are a variety of herbs and extracts widely advertised online or in magazines or television, and these are all basically weight loss products. So they're trying to give the industry a bad name, you know, based on those issues.
It is very surely something that is a questionable area. When used as directed, these things over a reasonable period of time and connected with correct dietary choices actually have the benefit of changing how your metabolism works. But these are not a magic bullet. Very, very surely, they don't work overnight. And I can't tell you how many people come to see me and they say, I need to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. And, you know, even starving yourself, not eating anything, just drinking water, most people would have such a suppressed metabolism that they wouldn't be able to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. And so people overdo, as you said, these products, and that's what lands them in trouble.
Yeah, it's probably the overuse of the products, whereas properly used prescription drugs lead to far more emergency room visits, and in fact have been listed as over 100,000 deaths a year from properly used prescription drugs. But here's the reason for this article. Supplement industry is a rapidly growing $32 billion a year industry that has attracted increased scrutiny in the past year and prompted calls for tougher regulation of herbal products. Well, isn't it interesting that you have 0.1% of the people taking these products going to the emergency room, or we said about 20,000. You have over 5 million people going to the emergency room because of prescription drugs, which is a highly regulated industry. So are they trying to tell us if they regulate it more, it's going to make it safer?
Well, very important point for people to understand. But I have to say, I think that probably the people who listen to our discussions here every morning probably are very well aware that, no, indeed, these natural supplements, particularly very high-quality herbal extracts, are very safe and very, very effective. And the other part of this whole picture is very often what the pharmaceutical companies do is isolate the specific substance that they have in their research determined. And I'm not saying that their research in all cases is correct, but that their research has determined that indeed this is the most active component in all of the different phytochemicals available in this herbal extract, and we're going to concentrate it, possibly synthesize it, and we're going to sell it as a pharmaceutical. And we're going to do some double-blind placebo-controlled studies. Maybe some of those studies are not successful and do show that there are side effects with a synthesized phytochemical like that. And when they are concentrated, synthesized, and then possibly taken incorrectly, they're going to lead to problems. But when you're staying with the natural substance, maybe an extract as well as the whole herb, as well as a combination of interactive and supportive herbs, that is going to lead to success for whatever the point is that you're taking these substances. So very, very much a situation where confusing the consumer is the name of the game.
Well, I think if this next point will help you understand more about this. The study was published Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it was led by health authorities from the Food and Drug Administration and for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So right off the bat, we know that
two government organizations we certainly have learned to trust over the years, Dr.
Right, and controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. So the researchers in this study tracked emergency room visits at a large network of hospitals around the country over a 10-year period, and then analyzed those in which a dietary supplement was implicated.
But they forgot to analyze those that had a pharmaceutical implication?
Well, it's interesting. You're right. How many people taking a supplement might also be taking a prescription drug, but they're just blaming the supplement? So some of the reactions, and sometimes I don't know how you can automatically blame the supplement. Some were allergic reactions, heart trouble, nausea and vomiting.
It depends on who you're working for, who you blame.
Well, that's exactly right. But I can tell you that this is a message that's going to get out to patients visiting physicians. You know, they're going to say, you know, those supplements are really dangerous, when they should really look at the prescription drugs they're prescribing for the patients. Those are really, really dangerous.
A very, very important point. The other situation is people taking natural supplements. Let's talk about the quality. If they're buying something from a drugstore, very often the additional ingredients are certainly not what you want to be using on a regular basis. I'm right now in Greenland in Delray Beach, and I was looking at a particular supplement just a few minutes ago, and it had ingredients in it that you would not want to combine with certain pharmaceuticals. So you have to have guidance when you're using these natural substances in relation to and in addition to pharmaceuticals. And that's one of the things that I do when I sit down with people and I'm reviewing their blood work and the medications that they're taking, as well as the natural supplements that I might be recommending for the particular issue that they're discussing with me. I very, very much investigate the potential negative interaction between a natural substance and a pharmaceutical medication. But number one, if you're buying them in a pharmacy, you're going to have potentially objectionable ingredients. And some of those objectionable ingredients would be dextrose, talc, polyethylene glycol, artificial colors. We talked a little bit a few weeks ago about carrageenan. We talked about caramel color. It isn't what you think it is. So many of these things have negative response on their own, let alone when combined with a pharmaceutical.
Janet, when we come back after this break, I want to talk about another report from the New England Journal of Medicine, the headline being calcium and vitamin D do not lower colon cancer risk.
Whoa, okay.
But right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And before the break, we mentioned we talk about this other report about vitamin D and calcium not lowering the risk of colon cancer. And here again, it's a way of disinformation. It starts off saying a major study finds that taking calcium or vitamin D pills does not help prevent the growths that can lead to colon cancer, specifically polyps they're talking about. Now, what's interesting is how many people are going to stop and read the rest of the study? You know, they read the first paragraph and they say, okay, don't have to take anything. What's interesting, there have been many of other studies that show that there was a benefit to taking calcium. Other studies that show there were benefits to taking vitamin D. What was interesting in this study, which was also sponsored by the National Cancer Institute, and the pills, the supplements were provided by Pfizer, Consumer Healthcare. It involved 2,200 people who had been recently diagnosed with polyps, which are precancerous growths in many cases. So those are the group. That's the group they looked at. And because they figured that was the group more likely to develop cancer, so they said, let's take that group and see if taking the supplements made a difference. So here's what they did. They gave them 1,000 international units of vitamin D3 a day and 1,200 milligrams of calcium. And then it were, you know, different groups, so some had both, some had neither, and some had one or the other. And they followed the group up to 3 to 5 years later. 43 to 45% of all study participants had developed a new polyp, regardless of whether they took calcium, vitamin D, both or neither.
Dr. Slavin, did they identify the form of calcium? Did they identify the form of vitamin D used? Did they talk about any of the other substances that are critically important with regard to how you process both vitamin D as well as how you process calcium? The thing that I'm thinking of with regard to the way the study was put together, it seemed to me a very poorly thought out way to investigate these substances. So I have to tell you, Dr. Slavin, we have a caller on the line that wants to discuss our first conversation with regard to natural supplements and combining them possibly with pharmaceuticals. We have Moody on the line. Do you have your question?
Hi, how are you? This is Moody. Hi, Dr. Slavin. Hi, Janet. I was just listening to your opening segment, and you were discussing the news article that came out, you know, splashed on the front page. And, in my opinion, that is a knee-jerk reaction to, kind of the culture shock that has taken place as a result of the overdosing of a very prominent NBA basketball player by the name of Lamar Odom. You may have heard. He actually used to play with the Miami Heat at one time, but he was mostly, you know, on the West Coast with the Lakers and so on. And he decided to, you know, go to the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. You might know what that's all about. And supposedly he was taking between 8 and 12 herbal Viagras, mixing them with cocaine, probably, and that's reported, probably not eating, probably drinking as well. And so he passed out, and he was, you know, had to be rushed to a hospital, and he's now in a, I guess, vegetative state. And so, like, everybody's in shock and awe, you know, and basically saying, you know, look, this is what can happen, you know, when you take herbal supplements. Well, if you overdose on, you know, you can probably overdose on anything, you know. So, but that's what this is all about. It's about, you know, trying to vilify something, you know, instead of looking and saying, oh, wait a second, you know, he took how many of those, and he took them with cocaine and alcohol. Well, there you go.
It's such a sad situation, and we don't even know what his intake was prior to arriving there. And as you said, the potential for combining those substances with alcohol, extremely dangerous, not to mention cocaine. Now, it seems as though the people at that location are denying that they had any knowledge that he was using cocaine.
Of course.
But, you know, just based on his history, we would certainly have a suspicion about what he was using. Then the other part of it was his mental state. What did he mean to do to himself? And there seems to be some indication that he was very much in a depressed state, and maybe this was a purposeful self-medication just to relieve.
Yeah, maybe it was like self-sabotage.
Psychological,
but the greater point is, even if you subtract the cocaine, and even if you subtract the alcohol, and you just say, okay, well, you know, what did you take and in what period of time? You know, and the supposed number is between 8 and 12 herbal Viagras. Who knows what those are, what the potency is. But, you know, if you don't, like as you said, if you don't take them as directed, you know, and you're taking them in a very short period of time, you know, to try to do what they're intended to do, but not, you know, in such a concentrated state, yeah, you could, you know, but then, of course, when you add all the other factors, it's not surprising, you know, what happened. I mean, I wish the guy a full recovery. He's, you know, supposedly a good guy. You know, he's maybe going through some trouble, you know, as people are. But that's what I think that this article is hearkening on and trying to vilify, you know, the situation with, you know, natural supplements and herbs.
Right. They keep mentioning on the news reports herbal formulas, herbal supplements, yes, and very much with the idea of vilifying the concept of taking herbal formulas when you take, and I have to say, give the media consumers a little credit. I do think that many people are going to be able to sort out the hype. Some people are just going to remember herbal supplements dangerous, but I think there are plenty of other people who are going to understand the combination that you can't overdose on anything. If you overdose on water, if you overdose on sugar, if you overdose on any different substance, the very word overdose is you've taken too much and you may have consequences. Dr. Slavin?
Well, I think that's exactly the point. But the real issue is the pharmaceutical industry doesn't like competition, so they hop on this issue of 20,000 ER visits because of supplement use.
And how many again, because of pharmaceutical use,
right,
Dr.
Yeah,
Slavin?
over 5 million. So you have to just put things into context. But they didn't do that. The headline was 20,000 ER visits by people taking supplements.
Okay, so, and the headline here on Natural Doc Radio is over 5 million ER visits every year with the consequences of pharmaceutical medication.
And that doesn't count the hundreds of thousands of deaths from drugs as well. So it's a just something that people need to put into context. And I want to put something else into context. We have a couple of minutes before the break, and we'll continue this topic when we get back, because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And a couple questions that come up. You know, this is the month they really promote getting mammograms. But mammograms expose the woman to ionizing radiation, which is a cancer risk. So why is it promoted as a primary prevention tool if it can create cancer? And you know what? And the risk of causing cancer is even greater in women with the gene for cancer. So that's you know, that's a real issue. The other real issue is how many false positives are created with this type of screening. In other words, a woman is told she has cancer when she really doesn't. And then another type of false positive is treating ductal carcinoma in situ as a cancer. That's still a very debatable issue in this country. In Europe, it's not treated as a cancer. In fact, if you were to follow women with ductal carcinoma in situ, meaning it's just within the cell, it hasn't spread anywhere, over many years, you find in most cases nothing ever happens. And yet, you know, they jump on it. Oh, but here's the biggest thing, and we've all heard about adding computer analysis to mammograms, and that's going to make the mammogram much better. You know, how often are women told, well, we need to get another view, another mammogram, because the first one didn't show anything? Then they add it to computer analysis, and 90% of U.S. mammograms are costing about $400 a year now because of this computer analysis that has been added to it. And the real issue is that they do not improve accuracy. So here you've increased the cost, and the insurance companies gladly pay it. And that's the amazing thing, and you have to question that. Remember on Monday, I think it was, I started off the program saying, if there was no insurance, would you spend $150,000 to bypass surgery or $5,000 to avoid the need for it? I don't have to answer that, but when you give your money to the insurance companies, they're gladly spending the $150,000 for bypass and nothing in trying to keep you away from the need for bypass surgery. So something is clearly wrong with the whole system. And since when should insurance companies be dictating the type of health care we get? And, you know, they never used to get involved in that department, but now they feel they have a right to tell doctors, use this test, don't use that test. And we've talked about that many times as well on the program. So when we get back, we'll talk about the positive approach to breast cancer, and that's in prevention. And you never hear anything about that. Mammograms do not prevent breast cancer. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And before we get back to the topic, I just want to remind everybody, a week from tomorrow, October 31st, over at the Advanced Medical Testing Centers, they're having an event in order to introduce their state-of-the-art drawing center to everybody. And by that, what they're doing is giving everybody who calls to make an appointment a free complete blood count, a free serum chemistry panel, and a free urinalysis. And people will have the opportunity to order other tests while they're there, but those tests will be free. And if you'd like to go, the phone number to call is 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332. It will occur that Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. This way, if you want to come fasting, you'll be able to find out what your fasting blood sugar is as well when the blood is drawn. And I just want to go back to that report we were talking about with vitamin D and colon cancer, because vitamin D has also been shown to be effective in reducing the incidence of breast cancer. But the problem with these studies, particularly the one published in the New England Journal of Medicine, they were only giving the people 1,000 international units of vitamin D. And what's so striking is, in this study, they didn't even bother to test the vitamin D levels in the participants, because all the studies show that when you have optimal levels of vitamin D, in other words, that's what's required to get the benefits, you have to be up in the 80 point range. The range is normally 30 to 100. You want to be around 80 to 100 to get the benefits. And in order to get to that point, I found that you have to take usually 10,000 units a day.
Dr. Everybody's Slavin,
yeah.
Don't you have to be very much aware of the form of vitamin D that you're taking as well? Does vitamin D2 work as well or in the same manner as vitamin D3?
Yeah, it's the vitamin D3 that you should be taking. But here they gave the people a thousand units. Did they say what they gave in the study? I'm not sure if they said what kind of vitamin D they gave, but they only gave 1,000 international units. They said they gave 1,000 international units of vitamin D3 in the study.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, but that's not enough. I have patients coming in taking that dosage, and they're just barely brings them into the range of 30 to 100. Get up to the 80s. You need 10,000 units a day and test your levels. It's not enough to say, I'm taking enough. You have to know what your body is absorbing and utilizing. So,
the FDA is very much at fault here, because they have established certain daily value intake numbers that are totally unrealistic with regard to supporting health. Maybe they'll get you into the bottom range of a particular reference range for a nutrient, but they certainly won't get you into an optimized range. They certainly won't get you into a range that has a significant protective effect on your health.
All right. Now, Jan, I want to get back to the breast cancer issue, because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. By the way, what's interesting, Breast Cancer Awareness Month was started by one of the participants who benefit from breast cancer. I'm just looking for that report saying who it was, but I think it was one of the chemotherapy companies started that was involved in starting the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it's
very
interesting.
Much breast cancer awareness, but having nothing to do with breast cancer prevention, which, in my opinion, would be what most women would be interested in, prevention, that with all of the media attention with regard to breast cancer, the awareness part is very, very well taken care of, but not necessarily the prevention part. But this whole idea of walk for the cure and so on, I tell people, take a look at where the money goes.
Yeah, I found where it came up. Breast Cancer Awareness Month was launched by AstraZeneca, a pharmaceutical company that sells cancer treatments on the one hand and carcinogenic pesticides on the other. So it's an interesting sponsor.
So they get you from two directions.
So it was just an interesting spot. The other point that I just wanted to make, there were two new studies that refute the value of mammograms. You know, here they're promoting, you know, mammograms this month. I have patients that still come to me who take mammograms. I try and explain there are better options than that. But here's one. This was a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association just this past July, and it confirmed previous findings showing mammography screenings led to unnecessary treatments while having virtually no impact on the number of deaths from breast cancer. So I think, you know, people have to realize that you're going down the wrong path when you start with mammograms and all the treatments. Previous research had shown that for every life saved by mammography screenings, three women will be overdiagnosed and treated with surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy for a cancer that might never have given them trouble in their lifetime. In other words, one-third of cancers don't require any treatment. In the new study, a positive correlation between breast cancer screening and breast cancer incidence was again found, but there was no positive correlation with mortality. What does that mean? The more screenings you do, the more breast cancers you're going to find, but that doesn't mean those breast cancers that you find require treatment. A lot of women have breast cancer that go entirely undetected, and they never die from it. They die from other causes. And there was another study, and this was in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine, which said, in conclusion, mammography screening is harmful and should be abandoned. In short, decades of routine breast cancer screening using mammograms has done nothing to decrease deaths from breast cancer while causing more than half of all women undergoing the test to be overdiagnosed and overtreated. According to the lead author in the study, had mammograms been a drug, it would have been withdrawn from the market long ago.
And I'm going to jump in here and say, what is the leading cause of death among American women? It is not breast cancer, but we certainly don't give women the information that they need in order to keep themselves healthy with regard to balancing hormones, which plays a huge role both in breast cancer and in the development of heart and circulatory disease. And that area is the biggest killer of American women.
Now I'm going to give off some recommendations as far as diet goes. And this is not just for breast cancer, but this really would apply to everybody. And probably the most important thing is eat real food. Avoid processed foods and sugars, and especially the processed fructose. So the subline here is all forms of sugar are detrimental to health in general and promote cancer. Fructose is clearly one of the most harmful and should be avoided as much as possible. So you have to read a label. Janet, so it's the high fructose corn syrup. A lot of times they don't even spell that out. They just initial it HFCS, and people may not even know what that is.
unfortunately, many people might not necessarily get to that area of the label. Many times the printing is so small, you do need a magnifying glass to be able to read it. And, you know, they look at the big label and possibly some kind of sales pitch on the label and make a decision based on that. But you're absolutely correct, Dr. Slavin. People need to know about the detrimental substances that they're consuming.
Now, here's another recommendation that I find very interesting, because it's not often that you hear it. In the context of cancer, is stop eating at least 3 hours before going to bed. And the reason is they say there is compelling evidence showing that when you supply fuel to the mitochondria in your cells at a time when they don't need it, they will leak a large number of electrons that will liberate reactive oxygen species, in other words, free radicals. And, of course, the free radicals go on to damage mitochondria and even DNA. And there is also evidence to indicate that cancer cells uniformly have damaged mitochondria. So the last thing you want to do is eat before you go to bed. So they say at least 3 hours, but 6 hours would be even better. So I think that's something that should be easy to do, because it's not depriving you of anything. It's just saying, you know, eat a little bit earlier and give your body time to digest the food.
Certainly using high-quality digestive enzyme is going to be of an assist to that entire process, minimizing the release of the free radicals as a result of normal metabolism of food. So things... A digestive enzyme that contains hydrochloric acid can be very, very helpful. There are so many different ways to manage your dietary intake for the best health support. So one of the things, in addition to having that timing down correctly, one of the things that people can do is make sure that they have a variety of different vegetables. And keep in mind, I really restrain myself from saying fruits and vegetables, because fruits and vegetables are not equal. You absolutely need vegetables, and once in a while, more in the area of a treat would be the fruit. So vegetables at your last meal of the day, crucially important, both cooked and raw.
And again, it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about things that have to do with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and not what the mainstream talks about. They talk about getting mammograms, but we're talking about ways to help you prevent getting breast cancer. And really, these recommendations not only apply to cancer, they apply to every illness. We had mentioned, eat real food, avoid everything processed. And when it comes to real food, make it organic as well. That would be helpful. Avoid fructose. Stop eating at least 3 hours before going to bed. I think that's good advice. Optimize your vitamin D level. And by that, it means having your vitamin D levels checked and getting those levels up between 70 and 100. That's where you need to be. It's not good enough to be just in range. And here's something, Janet. I don't know if what your position is on this, but I think it's good advice. Limit your protein intake, because too much protein has been shown to accelerate cancer growth. So the recommendation is about a half a gram of protein per pound. So if you someone weighs 200 pounds, 100 grams of protein a day. I think people might be taking too much protein.
Don't you think 100 grams of protein a day for a 200-pound person might even be too much? My suggestion would be based on the level of activity, and certainly to provide a wide range of different types of vegetables and legumes in order to literally fuel the body, and that the protein intake for, I'm going to say, a relatively sedentary 200-pound person would be more in the range of 75 to 80 grams of protein. I just wanted to say that, Dr. Slavin, I'm here at Greenlands, and most of the approaches that I would use talking to people about their health challenges here at Greenlands, I would be supporting their health with supplements. And I talk to people all the time that say, I want to get my good nutrition from my food. But when you start to investigate the quality of our food supply, even organic, it may be less than ideal. And so I'm thinking about things, how are you going to get vitamin D in the level that's necessary? How are you going to get the kind of enzymes you need to break down your food? How are you going to get the quality fats that you need? So there are so many different areas where you absolutely need to support your very high-quality diet and your high-quality protein with supplements. It's a very important point. So my thing is, someone should be eating a variety of vegetables, cooked vegetables, vegetables in soup, raw vegetables in salad, a very, very diverse, colorful array of vegetables, and not to forget beans. Beans are going to have some protein content, but they're also going to have the fiber and carbohydrate content that's very balanced and very, very supportive of cellular health.
Good advice. And again, I agree with you, Janet, as far as 100 milligrams of protein, 100 grams of protein a day in a 200-pound person is probably more than enough. You can go lower than that. Here's another one that I think is important, especially after the soy craze from a few years ago. You want to avoid unfermented soy products, because unfermented soy products are high in plant estrogens. And that could be a stimulant to cancers like breast cancer.
Dr. Slavin, you mentioned the soy craze of a couple of years ago. So people were drinking soy milk. They were adding it to soy protein. They were using soy cheese. They were having soy burgers for lunch. So all of those hugely processed, very, very, very highly processed soy products were not necessarily supportive of health. What I tell people is, you can use some very good tempeh. You can use some high-quality miso and certainly edamame. So those are three forms, two of them fermented and one of them real identifiable food.
Excellent advice. Another tip, improve your insulin and leptin receptor sensitivity. I mean, this is crucial. We check fasting insulin levels on everybody in our practice. And I can tell you, you can see the difference between people who are eating a good diet and exercising and those that aren't. And the best way to improve your insulin and leptin receptor activities is to avoid sugar and grains. You know, we don't, you know, Kellogg's and everybody's promoting grains. Avoid grains and restrict carbohydrates mostly to fiber vegetables. In other words, you know, not potatoes, you know, not the starchy ones, not potatoes, not rice. So the fiber ones. Also, make sure you are exercising. That's important. Regular exercise. What's the best exercise? I tell people the one you do on a regular basis. It's the daily exercise. Anything that you do on a consistent basis is going to be beneficial. And, you know, if you get into the habit of doing exercise, you will get into better shape gradually, and you will gradually increase the time and intensity of what you're doing. So it works. One of the primary reasons exercise works to lower your cancer risk is because it drives your insulin levels down. So in addition to eating properly, this also helps lower your insulin levels. And that also plays a role in reducing cancer risk. It's been suggested that apoptosis, which is the programmed cell death, in other words, the difference between a normal cell and a cancer cell, normal cells have a programmed a time to die, whereas cancer cells live forever, and that's the problem. So this apoptosis can also be triggered by exercise, which will cause cancer cells to die. Studies have found that the number of tumors decrease along with body fat, which may be an additional factor. Maybe when you get rid of the body fat, you know, that's where all the toxins are stored as well. You're ridding your body of additional toxins, so that may be part of the reason. But also getting rid of body fat helps lower estrogen levels, which explains why exercise appears to be particularly potent against breast cancer. Yes.
You mentioned grains before, and certainly the craze is now gluten-free, and people have a list of the different grains that are gluten-containing grains. And we have a guest coming up not for a couple of weeks, Dr. David Perlmutter, and he has the book Grain Brain. And the truth of the matter is it goes far beyond gluten. What people need to know is reduce their dependence on all kinds of grains. So Kellogg's and General Mills has been marketing to people for years for a healthy breakfast based on grains that Kellogg's and General Mills sells. And so very, very important for people to understand, the more you reduce your intake of grains in your diet, the more you increase the intake of vegetables in your diet, that's the basis. So very, very important. When you are consuming grains, particularly those that are not organically grown, your risk of changing estrogen levels, changing your dietary the enzymes in your upper digestive system and the beneficial bacteria in your lower digestive system, that whole picture is turned on its side, literally. And you need to avoid grains. Dr. Slavin?
All right. I'm just in the last minute we have, just go through a few other recommendations. Drink a quart of organic green vegetable juice daily. I don't, and maybe I should add that to my regimen. Take omega-3s. Use curcumin. Avoid drinking alcohol. Here's one. Avoid electromagnetic fields as much as possible. That's a tough one to do. But at least down here, we're lucky in Florida. We don't have electric blankets. Imagine covering yourself in an electromagnetic field. Avoid synthetic hormone replacement therapy. That's really bad, and that includes birth control pills.
And that includes commercially available beef, poultry, farm-raised fish, a lot of those food choices. I just want to let everybody know that I'm here at Greenlands in Delray Beach from 11 to 2, helping people with supplements and food choices.
All right, and I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Natural Doc Radio. Don't forget our website, naturaldocradio.com. You can listen to all these programs because we archive them there. And we're here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.